everyone. So my talk today is about the dynamics of carbon and iron during the redox processes. And I'm Yu Yang from University of Nevada, Reno. I also go by Frank. This work is mainly done by my grad students and postdoc, and we also have collaborators from Wisconsin, like Georgia Tech and Peking University. I acknowledge funding from Department of Energy. So I think like the most audience here probably agrees with me that the climate change is the current generation issue, so which is mainly driven by the greenhouse gas emission. So this is just a long-term monitoring of the air phase carbon dioxide, and we have passed this milestone concentration in 2013. So which means like we as a society may need to do something to curb the emission. And states have decided to cut the emission like by 30% by 2030 compared to level in 2005. And to the other side, the natural ecosystem can act as a sequestration pool for carbon. Like for example, soil is one of the largest stock for carbon on the Earth's surface. It stores like the more carbon than in air phase and the biosphere. So if this carbon can be stored for long term, then the soil can act as a sink for the carbon, especially the greenhouse gas, like such as CO2 or methane. But to the other side, if the carbon is like degraded rapidly, then it will cause positive feedback to the climate change. So this plays the like the stability of soil organic carbon, very important factor in the carbon cycle under climate change scheme. And I just stole this figure from a well-cited paper published 5 years ago now. And so this just lists a bunch of different organic carbon, which show that they have a, like a variety of the residence time in soil environment. So the bottom line here is like the residence time of the organic carbon in soil is still not like the well understood. It can range from like the several weeks to a couple hundred years. So the current understanding about the stability is they are controlled by the interactions with the surrounding media, especially the minerals. And one of the important mineral interacting with organic carbon and potentially stabilizing organic carbon is iron oxide. But to the other side, we know that the iron oxide can be subject to the various like abiotic and biotic redox reactions. So iron 2 can be like the oxidized iron 3, and under anaerobic condition, iron 3 can be reduced to iron 2. And it's still a largely unknown question about how the iron-bound organic carbon is processed during these redox reactions, which is one of the major questions our group has been working with during the past 2 to 3 years. So we have been trying to answer the questions listed here. So how the iron-bound carbon is released and transformed when iron is reduced and reoxidized, and also the controlling physical chemical properties. And this is just a conceptual scheme like the worked out by my collaborator Eric Roden at Wisconsin Madison. So right now we're just working on the like the detailed processes, try to provide qualitative and quantitative understanding about these steps. To answer these questions, we have been working with like synthesized complexes. So my talk today is focused on the ferrohydrate, but I will start with something else. So this is the hematite organic matter complexes, which is to synthesize the complexes by solving the organic matter on the hematite surface. And we use like three different humic acids, like namely HA1 to HA3, with a range of the different functional groups. And the complexes have been synthesized under a range of pH from 5 to 9. Then we expose the complexes to the abiotic reduction, like using the disulfide. And here is the fraction versus the time. And the blue dots and line are for the residue iron. And the black one is for the dissolved iron, just the reverse way. And the red dots here are for the residue carbon. For the iron reduction, it's most of the iron reduction just follow the first order, like the kinetics, okay, so no problem. And we didn't observe the effect of the coated organic carbon on the hematite reduction, probably due to the low loading of the carbon on this hematite surface. Then when we compare the carbon release and the iron reduction, we see a like interesting discrepancy. So that means like they are not synchronous. They are like the decoupled during these reduction processes, especially when we look at the initial stage, like within the first 24 hour also, like when the iron reduction is still relatively limited, like when the iron is reduced by 10%, like we see a significant amount of carbon release, like it can be up to 90%, like for this case. So that means like this is pretty interesting and also relevant to the environmental natural environment, because this crystalline iron oxide reduction is normally relatively slow. But what we showed here is that even the iron is not reduced to a significant amount, the carbon can be substantially released back to the solution phase. And we cannot use the reduction of iron to predict the release of carbon. And with this quantitative kinetic information, we also look at how the chemistry of carbon is changed upon these redox processes. So this is the FTR spectra, like comparing the original organic matter shown in these black lines, and also the hematite bound organic matter shown in these like the red lines. And when we look at those like the black lines here, they are pretty sharp peaks at aliphatic ranging. So that means this carbon, they have a relatively high amount of the aliphatic carbon, but these peaks diminish like when we look at the hematite organic matter complexes. So which indicates during the sorption process, the aliphatic carbon is not selectively sorbed. So like the non-aliphatic carbon, probably the aromatic carbon or the hydrophilic carbon is selectively sorbed on the hematite surface because of the coordination complexation or like aromatic based interactions. Then we look at the reduction processes. We measure the carbon 13 signature for the carbon, like the before reduction and after reduction. So the red bar here and the green bar here are for the original and the after reduction. We see a substantial like the increase in the carbon 13 signature, and there's like the good correlation, but the reverse correlation between the carbon 13 and the aromaticity. So that means like the after reduction, the carbon 13 increased, so the aromaticity like the decreased. So that means like during this reduction process, like the aromatic carbon is preferentially released back to the solution phase. This gives us like the interesting like the contradicting selection. So during the sorption process, like this aromatic carbon is more easily or more preferably to sort on the hematite surface, but they are not that stable. And during the reduction process, they can be like the more quickly released back to the solution phase. And so this is pretty much our story about the hematite. So we know hematite is a good model to study the process of iron bound carbon because hematite itself didn't go through the mineral transformation during these like the redox reactions. But hematite has relatively low sorption affinity for carbon compared to the non-crystalline iron oxide. So like we move on to synthesize some ferrohydrate organic carbon complexes and conducted the microbial reduction, so which is more relevant to the natural ecosystem. So like we synthesize the ferrohydrate organic carbon complexes with different like the carbon iron ratio like from 0.7 to 3.7. Then we monitored the iron reduction during the microbial reduction by Schwannalla, just a pure culture. And this is for the iron reduction, this is for the carbon release. And the left figure is the concentration, the right one is the fraction. And the blue square here is for the control, it's just a pure ferrohydrate. And we have the different carbon iron ratio here. When we compare the co-precipitate with the pure ferrohydrate, the only complexes with the highest carbon iron ratio in our system, that's 3.7, has enhanced iron reduction compared to the pure ferrohydrate. For other, like the complexes, the reduction is even inhibited slightly. And the carbon can affect the reduction through a complicated way. It can act as an electron shuttle to facilitate the reduction. But what we found here, there might be a threshold to facilitate iron reduction. The threshold for the carbon iron ratio is probably between these 1.8 and 3.7. And to the other side, the complexation between some functional groups in the organic carbon and iron can inhibit its availability for the microbial reduction. And then, for the carbon release, we found a similar phenomenon. That means like the only complexes with the highest carbon iron ratio, we saw this significant release of carbon. So that means like the during these redox processes, the carbon iron ratio not only control the reduction, but also the organic carbon release. And with this kinetic information, we analyzed how the iron and the carbon chemistry is transformed during these processes. So this is an Excel spectrum, which is quite busy, but we just put the spectrum for the original complexes and the complexes after reduction. Then we do the linear model fitting. And the left bar is for the original ferrohydride and the complexes, and the right bar here is for the complexes after reduction. And we found the differential like mineral transformation. For the pure ferrohydride, it's completely gone. It's like completely transformed to other crystalline iron oxide. And when we increase the carbon iron ratio, the residue ferrohydrides like the increased. So there's pretty good correlation between the residue fraction of ferrohydride and the carbon. So that means like the increased carbon can prevent the ferrohydride from the mineral transformation. So there also can be multiple ways that carbon can affect the mineral transformation because the carbon can coating on this ferrohydride surface, which will prevent its reaction with the iron 2 in the solution phase. And also the release the carbon in the solution phase can complex with iron 2 and inhibit the precipitation and the formation of secondary mineral on the surface. And the change in the mineral transformation also contributes to the iron reduction itself because the ferrohydride is relatively easily to be reduced compared to the crystalline iron oxide. So like this is consistent with our observation that higher carbon iron ratio, so the more ferrohydride retained, the higher iron reduction. So like this is for the chemistry of iron. Then we also analyze how the carbon is changed during the like iron reduction. So based on the XPS analysis. So this is just the surface carbon iron ratio. So like the very left bar is the bulk carbon iron ratio. The middle bar is the original surface carbon iron ratio from XPS. The very right bar is for the surface carbon iron ratio after reduction. So what we found is that the originally the surface carbon iron ratio is already much higher than the bulk value. So yeah, which means the carbon is more enriched on the surface. And after reduction, this complex is just reionized with more carbon enriched on the surface. When we look at the carbon spectrum, like we see like more carboxylic carbon, so which is retained because like the inner sphere coordination complexation. So this is how the carbon affects the iron reduction. And we also started the reverse way how the carbon affects the iron reduction, especially the bow chart. So I don't think I have time to go through details, but what we found, the take-home message here is the bow chart can also facilitate the reduction of hematite. So those electron shuttling process is not limited to the amorphous organic carbon, like the humic acid, but also like apply to this more crystalline like organic carbon. So I think the summary is like this carbon like cycle and the iron reduction is pretty like coupled with each other through the two-way interactions, which can might give us a new way to look at the carbon stability in the soil environment. So with seeing that, I would like to thank you for your attention and take any question if there's still time. Thank you.